Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In all works, there are two sides. One is the acquisition, and the other is the preservation. Health to acquire, and then to preserve. Wealth to acquire, and then to preserve. Marriage to acquire, and then to preserve. Can't say you're going to marry Khalaf now. You do all the cultivate. To marry, you have to preserve the bond. Let it grow from strength to strength, from love to love. So in deen also, acquire, and then learn to preserve. La tubtilu a'malakum. Don't destroy. It was the favor of Allah Ta'ala, the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, that helped you, enabled you to acquire. Now, after you acquired, must you forget Allah Ta'ala. I must remember him even more, that he gave Ramadan, gave us the blessing of Taraweeh, recitation of Quran Sharif. You couldn't do it yourself. You have done it yourself. You couldn't have done it. And lots of people will tell you that I did amount of Quran Sharif like I never did before. How it was, Allah knows. So it is just purely, entirely the grace for Allah Ta'ala. Graced us, made it happen. Now that He granted us, now how to preserve it. That's important. That's the thing of essence. So there is a famous hadith where a sahabi is inquiring about the times of fitna. Fitna is applied to different situations, but it's also very much applicable to a state of confusion, like how you have a state of disaster, a state of emergency. So you have a state of confusion. Now, people don't know what to do. Listening to one story, they step out of the masjid, another story, coming to the masjid, another story. One friend is saying something, one house is saying something else. One alim is saying something, and another alim is saying something else. So that's called a state of fitna, confusion. So you know what to do. But it's the beauty of the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is a teaching for every situation. Every situation, there is a ruling, there is a guidance, giving a guidance, no matter what. Now, even there's a million years from now, but there is a guidance, there is a precedent, there is something that you have to latch onto. The more you will latch onto it, the more you'll find the good. Now, what happens to us is sometimes we see the solution and we don't appreciate it. We don't hold in that esteem. That's the problem. Because it's so simple, because of the simplicity, we don't show it that type of esteem, we don't show it that type of respect. I know about it, I heard about it, I read through, so what's it all about? So that's not the idea. The idea is to hold on to the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No matter how simple it seems to you, you'll only begin to appreciate after you've practiced it. And if you didn't practice it fully, so now I know about it, I heard about this, now why are you repeating these type of things? Na'uzubillah. See, that's the attitude, mental attitude. So this mental attitude must be corrected. Yes, it is simple, but it is the solution. And it's suspended on your firmness, how strongly you hold. When Allah gave the kitab, gave the wahi to Yahya al-Islam, says, khudil kitaba bi quwwa. Hold it and hold it firmly. Not just hold to it. Khudil kitaba bi quwwa. You will say, I know the contents now. So now, what is it all about that I must hold firmly? So the more you will hold to it, the more it will unravel. One thing and another thing, everything unravels. That's suspended on the level of stability and firmness that you hold on. Then you don't shirk. Hold on very firmly. So at the time of fitna, maybe some advice. There's two, three things, but hold on to it. Amlik alayka lisana, control your tongue. You be in control of your tongue. Don't let your tongue control you. You be in control of your tongue. Where you must open, where you must shut down. Where you must open, where you must close down. So don't let the tongue be your boss. You be the boss. What you need to think about is short term, long term. I'm going to say something. What's going to be the short term? What's going to be the long term? Consequence. There must be a consequence. See, awaz gunjti rehti hai. Fizame gunjti hai. See this, what we talk about, what we read, etc. It all echoes in the atmosphere. You think, ah, maine kuch baat kahi, khatam ho gayi, I said something, it's gone, finished. Not realizing that thing echoes, it's going to affect something. Something's going to get affected. You will get hurt. So these words that are spoken about, then how meticulous are we about it? Are we careful? Are we cautious? Do we think about it in our personal capacity, within people? Do we really understand what we are talking about, who we are saying, what we are saying? Should we say it? Shouldn't we say it? Right. I repeated this story, you know. In the old days, when a person returned from Hajj, and you go and visit him, right? Then they should have the small glasses, and they'll give you some khajur and some zamzam. Tabarruk, everybody should take it as tabarruk. So this person went for Hajj, and people came to visit him. So he says to his khadim, you know, in the seventh Hajj that we did, that zamzam from the seventh Hajj, just please, just serve them with that zamzam that we brought to the seventh Hajj. As a guest says to him, Hazrat, you know what happened? In this one statement, you have destroyed the sawab of your seventh Hajj. Because was there a need for you to say that the seventh Hajj that we have done, then just serve them with that water? Was there a need for them to say that? Was there a need for you to say that? There's no need for you to say it. Why did you say it? You said it obviously to impress. See, I made so many Hajj. Now, look at the style of the old. See, a lot of things you will get lessons in the style of the old. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. They do what they need to do. They give what they need to give. Small or big, they do. And they give, right? But their hearts are in a state of tremor. They are trembling. That they have to go back to Allah Ta'ala, give a report. So they are not proud, they are not overconfident about it. See this, the beauty of Iman. And the beauty of Iman, how it molds your behavior. You did so much, you have done. You have done this, right? But then you don't become complacent, you don't become overconfident, you're still in the state of fear. Until you don't get into Jannat, by, you can't celebrate. You can only celebrate and rejoice after you've entered Jannat. But before that, you can't praise yourself, you can't talk about yourself. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he used to come across the verse, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Ta'ala only accepts from the righteous. So he says, you know, my dream is Allah Ta'ala must accept my one subhanallah. Look at this level of fear. Just one subhanallah of mine, Allah Ta'ala must accept. And I've got everything. Once he has accepted it, usko pyar aa gaya, then he doesn't reverse it. Khuda ko mere kisi amal aur kisi ada se agar usko pyar aa gaya, then it's irreversible. Once he said, I like this of yours, then that is stamped. And you don't know about it. Which act of yours, which work of yours, which word of yours, which deed of yours will be liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he wants you to remain in a state. Don't. I asked Ustaz Rahmatullah once, that someone has got the ihram cloth, you know, you've got the upper cloth and you've got the lower cloth. And the lower cloth, generally it is not sewn together. Both the sides are open, right? So when both the sides are open, so if someone sews both the ends, then will that be a valid ihram? No, it's valid. He says, لیکن ایک حالت استرابی مطلوب ہے. Allah Pak wants a حالت استراب. You know, you mustn't be at ease. You're walking out, something's going wrong. Something's stopping. So that حالت استرابی مطلوب ہے. He wants that state. So within your mind also, there must be the state. Am I doing it wrong? Allah Pak is happy with me. But make dua, istighfar, shukr. Now what must I do now? See, before the masjid we opened, all the crying, right? Allah must open the masjid. Now that it's open, how many of us made shukr? He did it. I don't think any power could have done it. In my understanding, no power could have done it. Allah alone that did it. La ilaha illallah wahdahu. Anjazawad. If someone's tier must have reached, touched the throne of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala's mercy must have just overflowed. So I opened it. So at the beginning we thought about him, at the end do we think about him? Do we cry to him in shukr? When those verses, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, they were revealed, then Nabi Sam wept so much, that Aisha had to comfort Nabi Sam, but didn't Allah Ta'ala forgive all your sins, past and future? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, mustn't I be a grateful servant? Musa alayhi salam is going to the tour for revelation, whatever, right? And he sees a rock en route. And I think he's crying. But why are you crying? No, I heard the verse, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, that the fuel of Jahannam will be man and stone. So I'm crying because I'll be the fuel of Jahannam. Musa alayhi salam, when he speaks to Allah Ta'ala, he said, this rock has made a request that you save it from fire. Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua. After some time, Musa said, he's passing the rock again. When he passes the rock, he's crying again. So Musa says, but didn't I tell you that Allah Pak has delivered you, saved you from Jahannam? Why are you crying? He said, mustn't I cry because of appreciation? I cried of fear. I'm crying out of love. My love, my Rabb is so kind, so compassionate, so gracious. I mustn't cry about that. I must only cry and remember him when I need him. When he is being bountiful, he is loving, he is compassionate. I mustn't talk about him. I mustn't think about it. الَّذِيَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, under all conditions, your heart is still with Allah Ta'ala. In the times of comfort, at the times of luxury, at the time of ease, when you remember Allah Ta'ala, then when you cry at the time of pain, then Allah Pak says that is the voice that is familiar. Time of comfort, time of ease, right? When you remember Allah Ta'ala, shukr, Allah Ta'ala, you're talking to Allah Ta'ala. Your yearning, your turning towards Allah Ta'ala is even more. Then at the time of pain, when you're crying, now this voice we recognize, this voice, it's familiar. So you see this Amlik alayka lisanak. At the time of confusion, then just control yourself. We don't pretend to be imitating someone else. If there's a senior person, everybody counts him as a senior, he's saying something. So we don't fit ourselves in his shoes. Sometimes it is possible that he will make a statement, people will take it accordingly. But if you make the statement, your father can tell you, gadero, donkey, right? But if your child sees your father doing this, and he says, akabir ka tariqa, I will tell you, gadero, will that be acceptable? Father can say it, but the child can't say it. He can't imitate the father. He says, you're an ass. Father got the right to do it. But the child doesn't have the right to address his father in that way that the dada did. The dada has got the right to do it. So an elder, if he says something, it's not always that you imitate him. Yes, you become the elder, and then you imitate him. The king of the time, his daughter, right, princess, she was affected by some jadu or jinnat, whatever. So they brought the princess to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Malik must have been too busy, he said, "Already take the shoe and go away." So he took the shoe and the jinnat disappeared. Now, this jinnat story is always a relapse. After 2 years, 3 years, 6 months, it's always a relapse. So there was a relapse, and she got affected again. Now they brought that girl again to Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Malik rahmatullah was busy in some errands, so he couldn't attend, right? So one student said, "Oh, I'll take my shoe." So the jinnat said, "See, this is the first time. You're not in the position of Imam Malik. You don't do this. The first warning, don't ever repeat this thing here." See, you have to be in that position to be able to imitate. But if he did it, he's in that position, he can do it, it's taken. When he's done it, he's taken. People accept it. But now, every person begins to think that he did it, so I can do the same. And then you bring about a confusion. Like in the present situation, right? When someone is saying someone munafik, right? But you just hold your horse. Don't say anything. Not for, not against. Just keep quiet. And for your mental ease, what you can say, what you may say, you see, bughs fillah is a requisite of iman. Dislike for the sake of Allah Ta'ala is a requirement of Allah Ta'ala. It may be that the person that is saying that, right, he may be hurt, he may be tormented, right? He may be tortured. Mentally, he may be going through some terrible times. He locked the house of Allah Ta'ala. So the person that was the sabab is calling him a munafiq, right? So now, you would put yourself in a predicament, right? Just put yourself in a predicament, right? You just got married, you spent about 2 weeks with your family, right? And then, the in-laws took away your wife. She's going to park in the house for 2 months. What will happen? Sabar hoga. Huh? What will come out from your mouth? Hey, what's wrong with these people? What idiot they are? It's my wife now. What will they think about themselves? Won't you say that? So the man that is saying that, he's in a mental state. His level of iman, imani commitment is very great. But is your commitment like his commitment? If he's saying it, alright, it is a justifiable statement for the circumstance, for the mental state that he is in. But you are not in that state. So you want to say something, it's going to add to confusion. He says it, enough, people understand, and they will take it for it. But the whole world begins to imitate. That's where you bring about a confusion. You're not at that level of iman where you can make that type of statement. He's at the level of iman. If he made that statement, all right, we hope that Allah Ta'ala will excuse him for it. Because he's in that state. See, amlik alayka lisan. You be in control of your tongue. That is why you see that in the past also, if a senior buzurg, if he made a statement, then there was no ramifications, there were no consequences. He's at that level of seniority, and he made the statement. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on the occasion of Sulh Hudaybiyah, they're doing the negotiations, right? Negotiating. And the person that is negotiating from the side of the kuffar, he is speaking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, "You know what? Don't rely on these people. They're coming from different backgrounds. Right? They may just turn against you." Now, it's a very tense situation. The situation is very tense. A war can just break out within seconds. A very thin line. And within seconds, something can snap. So, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to quell the situation. He says, "Umsus badar Allah." Go. Right? He had to say something that would sound very vulgar, right? Very vulgar sounds. But you don't see that there's a fitna that comes out of the test. Although it was a very, very vulgar statement, but it was required at that time. Sometimes in the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, when there is something that is required, right? If it is at the level of the splendor of a Nabi, then Allah allows the Nabi to do it. Some mistake or some error, but it's to the level of the shan, the splendor of a Nabi, Allah lets it happen. Like for example, a mistake in salah, right? So, how to correct a mistake, right? That's required. We are required to understand how to correct a mistake. If it was 4 rakats and you made 5 rakats, how to go about correcting the mistake, you need to know it. But this type of a correction is in conformity with the splendor and the majesty and the greatness of a Nabi. So Allah will allow it to take place at the hands of a Nabi. But if it is not at the level of the majesty of a Nabi, then Allah allows it to happen at the hands of someone else. In this, it was in the shan of Abu Bakr to say it, so he said it. You need to understand the philosophy of the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. One is a Nabi, then he's a Sahabi. Right? One is the time of the Nabi, and one is the time of the Sahaba Kiram. So two different eras. So it was not in keeping with the zamana of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the shan of the zamana of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that there should be a conflict within the Sahaba Kiram. But then the Ummah had to learn, the Ummah had to know, when there's a conflict, how do we go about reconciling, sorting things out? What do we do under the circumstance? So this was not in keeping with the splendor of the zamana of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this Allah allowed to happen in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr is gone, Umar is gone, Usman is gone. At the end now something happens. See that. See that the shan of a Nabi is so great. Sahabi is so great. But now someone had to go and fill this thing void. Someone had to do it so that it may be a precedent for the Ummah to come in later generations that when you going to have Ali radiallahu anhu is so beautiful, he said, someone says, should we kill them and take their wealth away? You know, as mana ghanimat, spoils of war. You know, ikhwanuna baghaw alayna. But they are brothers, they just rebelled. What? They are brothers, they just rebelled. So we will discipline them, we will correct them, but we will not take away their wealth. Because they are brothers. We can't take away their wealth. Now, if there wasn't this precedent of Ali radiallahu anhu, would there have been an example for the rest of the Ummah? And under the circumstance, what should we be doing? So Allah Ta'ala allows these things to happen for them to be a precedent. But it's for someone to think. See? So that's why, like Mahmoud, there's a lot of speakers, you know, Ismail is here, or speakers here. So, find it difficult to say, right? Giving Juma platforms. Shara Mohan Intiyaz is here, how will he feel? So, I have to say it repeatedly. These modern day speakers, they can't just say anything and everything. You can't say anything and everything. And the reason is that you haven't digested it full. When you haven't digested it full, you have digested it half, and you're giving half, they will get 1/8, right? And they will give off 1/16. Understand? So, what a confusion it brings up. So the better thing is just to take the muttafaq alayhi. You see all of akabir, what they said, and how they behaved. At a level where all ulama ikram had been having consensus, you know. They all agreed. Just take from that and move on. And those things that there were conflicts, etc., then leave it aside. Because it will take you a lot of time to understand things in perspective. So much of time it will take you to learn in perspective. So you can't just take what these people are doing now presently. What they are saying, you can't even have any type of reservation and malice, nor can you take it from them. Right? You will draw from that which was totally agreed upon. No, there was no conflict, nothing, absolutely nothing. Just take on from that. As for the present thing, if you understood the masnah very well, fima bainaka wa bain Allah, and you have got the capacity to understand, then it's your right. If you have got the capacity, you got all the facts before you. All the facts are before you. You got the capacity to understand, then it's your right. But you don't have that level of capacity. You don't have that mental stamina. The facts are not before you. And you have taken a decision against someone or for someone. I ask you, are you responsible or not? You don't have the mental capacity. You don't have the strength. You don't have all the facts before you. Nothing. You don't have all these things before you. When all these things are not before you, then is it the wise thing, the right thing for you to take a decision?
Then it's ishtaribu kathiram min al-zan. Just refrain from suspicion. Speculation and suspicion, then just move away. Al Muwatthani Sahib Rahmatullahi, we'll complete the hadith inshallah this time, Rabbah willing. He says, I have got umid in the grace of Allah Ta'ala that if someone adheres to these 3 points, wo kabhi mahroom nahi rahega. These 3 points hold firm to it and he won't go deprived, he won't go empty handed, he'll get. One is, you leave out sins completely. Dharu zahir al ismi wa batin. Wrong, whether it is apparent, whether it is in the mind. It's wrong, whether the wrong is apparent or the wrong is in the mind. You leave out the sin entirely. So in the new year, we have to revive this lesson of niyat, mind, mental. Amongst the ulama, there is a discussion that you learn first and then you clean your mind, your tasawuf, and you clean yourself, clean your heart, or you clean your heart first and then go into learning. It's a lengthy discussion there. Some say, no, you learn first and then you purify and rectify your heart. And they will support their stance that the first verse to be revealed was, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Rabb who has created. Right? So they say this in support of the claim. That you read first and thereafter you purify. And there is another group that says, no, you purify and thereafter you read. Right. And they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is initiated into wahi, into revelation. Right. But before being initiated, he says, Hubbiba ilayya al-khalaw. Then, khalaw, how will you tarjama kya karenge? Seclusion, yeah. Seclusion, I became, seclusion was very dear to me. Seclusion, I had a natural liking. In other words, the seclusion was not of my own. Not that one day I got up and said, no, I'm going to seclude myself. No. The seclusion was made dear to me. Hubbiba ilayya al-khalaw. That means Allah Ta'ala made it like that. Hubbiba ilayya al-khalaw. Allah made it like that. Now in tasawuf, that's what they're talking about, seclude yourself. Atikaf, you're secluding yourself. Khanqa, you're secluding yourself. Because your mind and your heart needs time to cleanse itself. You're going for a car wash, right? Can you drive the car and do the washing also? Can you do it? Smell when we see something just now. Can't do both at the same time. You need to just keep the car on the side, do the car wash. Inside, outside, everything must be done when the thing is stationary. You can't move the thing and get the thing washed. Clean, so same. You need to be stationed at one spot. So this khalwat was made dear to Nabi sometimes for a month, sometimes for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And it's carrying on. And then this culminated with wahi. So what came first? The cleansing, the purification, then came the wahi. Now that's what this group of ulama is saying. But there is merit in what they say as well. In those that say, at first the purification and then the learning. First the purification, then the learning comes, right? You see, Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he starts off his kitab, Bad'ul Wahi, the commencement of Wahi, how Wahi commenced. Why did he start off his kitab with Wahi? It's all simple. Not some rocket scientist that has to know these things here. But just apply your mind, understand, put it in perspective, you'll understand it. Because he starts off with revelation because the person between us, the ambassador between us and Allah Ta'ala is Rabbi. He's the ambassador, right? He passes on the word of Allah Ta'ala to us, right? So he's the man between us and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But his mission, where does his mission start off from? His mission starts off from wahi, from revelation. That's how the Nabi starts off his whole mission, from wahi. So therefore Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he starts off his kitab Badul Wahi. But immediately after that Badul Wahi, after he's put this heading, Badul Wahi, commencement of revelation, Then he records the hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat. That actions are based on the niyat. What? Actions are based on niyat. That means he's telling the reader, by it starts off with wahi, but get your heart right, get your mind right first. If you're not going to get your mind right, then this is going to be a disaster for you. Get your mind right. I say, alright, but why is the intention so important that if you don't have the intention right, it's going to be a disaster? Now try and understand perspective. If you understand it nicely, then you won't have a problem, inshallah. Anything dini or dunya needs to have the right intention. See, with the right intention, right, the work is right, and the intention is right, and a loose woman gets a jannah. A loose woman, bazaar yorot, jannah mil jata hai. Intention was right, the work was right. She did it with a good heart. So whole life was bazaar come. In work that was very much immoral, right? Indecent work. But then the sincerity, the love that she had done that work was so dear to Allah that she got a jannah. See the sincerity. What counted was the sincerity? So bazari aurat ko jannat mil jati hai dil ki safai ki wajah se. And then now look at this hadith on one side, and then look at another hadith. It's an alim or a qari, right? And a mujahid. What didn't they do for Islam? Alim did a lot. A mujahid gave his life, right? And a wealthy person gave his wealth for Islam. But then you find that the Jahannam is being started up with these three people. The alim or the qari, the mujahid, and the wealthy person. And Jahannam is being started up with them. Why? There's a corruption in the niyat. The intent was wrong. I'm giving a bayan, or I'm trying to impress upon people. I need to have people's applause. They must recognize me. They must talk about me. Or I'm doing jihad, and people must recognize my valor, my strength, my bravery. They must understand that. I'm spending the path of Allah, people must talk about me, that I put up this masjid, I did this. And Jahannam is being started off with these people. This person here is getting into Jannah because of niyat, and this person is going to Jahannam, although outwardly the picture is very great. He did this and he did this, right? But then there was an inconsistency in the niyat. There was a deficiency in the niyat, and that's when everything has got lost. You see that? So that heart has to be right for the amal to go right, and this works both dini-wise and dunya-wise. See that I explained. Dini-wise, Mulana, right? Qari sahab, mujahid, or a wealthy person. In a profession, the same thing, same law applies in a profession. Now look how it applies in a profession, right? Now, it's a youngster, 19, 20 years, he has got past matric and all that. What he wants to do, he has to do medicine, right? Why? I'm telling you about the cases that came from him. I'm not picking on anybody now. Give examples, then I hope nobody takes it personally. It's a lesson, it's an illustration. So don't think, you know, I'm picking on you, Maureen Piaz, or whoever. I'm not picking on anybody. It's just cases that come to me, right? There's a doctor that came, right? Not a doctor, a specialist. Some 3 years ago he came here. So he had a kurta, a nice long kurta, but no topi. So I was mistaking him for a salafi, you know, no modern style and all that. But I was really amazed at the beauty of his heart. His heart was too beautiful. On the face of it, I said, hey, it's the right of this person. Hey, no topi, short sleeve, whatever, what is it? What's wrong with this man here? I'm thinking in my mind. But then when he started talking, I said, hey, mashallah, what a beautiful heart he's got. So he says to me, you know what, I'm in a cartel of doctors. We're all specialists, right? And I got two major problems. See, me, I know about this. Because I've been in private hospital, I've been to public hospitals, I know about these things here. Right? Now if it's a flu or something like that, I know how to give vitamin D, antibiotic, and have a rest, eat light food. That's the basic thing that we give, right? Now, I'm doing this, and this thing here, because of the simplicity of the script, I'm charging the patient about 150-200 naira, that's all. Now the cartel is on my case. He's saying, the cartel on my case. They're all wealthy, you know. He's got a Merc, he's got a sports car, he's got a building, he has to go to Dubai, he has to go everywhere. Right? So they're on my case here, but how are you going to sustain this life? You're going to give them simple things, they're going to get cured. So how are you going to support all these things here? How are you going to sustain all these things here? Now I know in my profession, from experience over time, I understand this is a simple procedure. You take this medication, it will come right. I know about it. But now they are forcing me to do this thing here. That was the first thing they told me. The second thing he tells me, you know what? And because I'm new, the company is worth 20, 30 million, I'm new. So because I'm new, now I have to do some extra errands, right, to bring myself to be at their level, you know. So if it's a weekend or something, then they will ask me to do the runs in the hospital or something, right. So I went to a hospital to do a run, and I saw that youngster that was admitted, 10, 9 years of age, and he was running around, jumping and doing everything. I checked him up properly, thoroughly, no problem. So I gave him a card to go out. Are they on my case? I said, just book him in for another 10 days, man. For every day you could book him for 2,000 rand. Now you will carry like this. How are you going to sustain our lifestyle? Now, you see, he's got the profession, but was a niyat right? Was a niyat right? See how that thing goes. The niyat is not right, and what happens? One person is telling me yesterday or something that because of this lockdown and all that, so some doctors are recommending, but if you need a drip and all that, get a doctor to eat at home. Because now you go into the hospital, there's a long checker and nobody can visit you. It's like a prison, they keep you there, right? So rather do it, we'll show you what type of drips you need. So I just asked him in passing, how much it costed you? He said, well, drip is very simple, man. But 200 rand for drips, for two packages. And the doctor's charge now, he's framed to see me another 200 rand or something. So 500, everything. Right? Now if I had to go into private hospital for the same thing, it would cost me at least about 25,000 rand. Now you see now, the niyat is gone off. It's a profession, but the niyat is gone off. Now that majboor, that patient that is in that state, right, what must he do? He doesn't know what to do. So he'll book in, thinking to himself, oh, that thing will bring me the cure. But I ask you, are you exploiting the situation or not? See the importance of getting the heart and the mind right, and then the profession. Not the profession and then the niyat. Now, talking of real genuine cases, right, please, don't get me wrong. That person is the profession, right? But because he knows now, I can do things. So, whether he requires or doesn't require, but he's doing an internal examination on a woman. Hey, this is white now, this is black, this is Indian. See, different types. Assorted, you know. Assorted. And someone, under wrong pretexts, is giving her, pulling her pants and giving her injection. See? Now you see what's happening. See, the niyat goes off, and then you're doing the profession, right? Now, that's not right at all. So that's why they say, get the heart right, and then the profession. Get the heart right, and then the profession. So, Nabi Sassam is also impressing. See, Imam Bukhari saying, Hubbiba ilayya al-khalaw. See, I have gone to seclusion. Get the mind right. If the mind is right, and then you are initiated into education, then the education goes very beautiful. But the mind is not right. You got a lot of muck inside. Prejudices inside, right? And then you're going to education, that education is not going to give you the right direction. Whether it's dini education, whether it's dunya education, becoming an alim, becoming a qari sahib, but the mind is not right. If the mind is not right, then that education is not going to give you the right direction. You can be doing a qiraat, a beautiful rendering of a qiraat, so that you can come in Radio Islam, in that radio, that other radio, everywhere the whole world must talk about you. So you're doing with that intention. But I'm talking of genuine cases. I'm not talking of this putting off in my pocket, right? Genuine cases. People had experience, they come and tell you what's going on. See the importance of rectifying the niyat, getting the heart first, right? And then moving on. So the Mu'tami Sahib says, Dharu zahiral ismi wa batina. You keep yourself committed to these three, inshallah, you will not be deprived. Whatever you've earned, you won't be deprived. But get these three things right in order. So sins, whether they are apparent, whether they are discreet, but just avoid. Just avoid sin. Apparent or discreet. That's the first thing he talks about. A sin is not a thing to be experimenting. Well, let me just see who's that. It's a woman, or she's young, or she's old. Well, let me just give her a salam, you know, but she'll feel so offended if I don't make salam. And you know, to hurt a Muslim's heart is so bad, you know. So you make up all the arguments for you to justify the wrong. You'll put up all the arguments for you to justify the wrong. So now, you don't experiment with guna. Guna, you don't at all experiment. Once I was in Jalalabad, you know. So, there was a South African Jamaat that came in. So I thought to myself, no, you know, they are new. So let me just show them what the whole Jamaat about. And Hazrat's instruction was, Sukut, remain silent. Don't talk. Qillat kalam, less speech, less meeting. So that's the requirement in terms of as you're going in the detail, you know, the detail course you're going. So this is the training they'll give you, that you have control over your tongue. So I was taking them around and I gave the report to the Ahmadiyya that this Jamaat had come in. And I felt, you know, I may hurt them if I don't take them around and explain them what's going on here. So Hazrat's teaching is one line. He says, Dusro ki dil shikni se ziyada, apni deen shikni ziyada qabil fikr. What? You are considered about not hurting, but did you think about it that you will hurt your deen? You're so conscious about that person's feelings, but did you ever think about hurting your deen? You don't want the feelings to go off, but your deen is under attack. Your deen is being compromised. See, are you conscious about that? Are you aware of that? It was just one line. I took it very seriously. What he's saying is very great, very great. Although I'm very immature up till now, right? But what he's saying is extremely great. I need to get the thing right. Because I can say now I'm taking them around. But my niyat, you know, en route, my niyat can go off. I may be saying some things, and I may be doing some things, and my niyat may be going off. And only Allah knows thereafter. So see, that first thing says, Zahru, see, leave out all sins, whether it's open or discreet, just leave it out. Where you're not sure, then just ask, find out. Al-ismu ma haqa sadak, ma haqa fi sadrik, wa karhita ayyattaliya alayhi nas. Sin, what it is, you have a little bit of a hesitation, a reservation, uneasiness, you have uneasiness in your mind, right? That's sin. And you don't want people to get to know about it. You don't want people to get to know what's in your mind. You are talking to a woman now. She's a secretary or something. So I said, how are you, ma'am? So now, outwardly it seems that you are a dignified and a respectable person. But within your mind, you wanted to attract her attention. Now who knows that? Ali Allah knows. So you don't want people to know what's within your mind. You see? So that's what the Quran Sharif is saying. Zaru zahir al ismi wa basira. Just leave it. The second thing Muhammad Sallam says, that if you practice on this, inshallah, you won't go off. He says, logo se badgumani rakhna ban kar do. Don't have suspicions about people. Don't have. Chuke ye, there is writing after that. Chuke ye nashi hota hai kibr se. Because this starts off with takabbur. You're having suspicions. The suspicion, how do we have suspicions? It starts off with takabbur. And Moisbah is giving a very good talk, right? I can see people getting carried away. So now, I'm also in the same business of giving bayan, right? Yeah, yeah, jhoote aadmi hai. Yeah, banauti aadmi hai, bhai. Log jaante nahi. Unki taqreer sun karke jhoomte rehte, jhoomte. Yeah, wah, 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 wah. Lekin yeh jhoote aadmi hai. See now, I have to pacify myself. Pacify my ego and my jealousy for him, because he is coming up. And he's coming up now. How to smash him down? So see now, he's a liar, he's making up stories, and he's just showing people. He's just showing off. So here is suspicion. Where is it coming from? It's coming from pride. See, where is starting off from? The starting point is pride. And that pride will take you forward, having suspicions about people, reservations of people. And you think, you know, I'm trying to kaam kar raha, trying to save people and myself from his wrong. See how the nafs will play games with you. So, Maharaj says, that relationship with the Sheikh is excellent. When there's an open relationship, it's so open that if he wants to tell you, hey, tum ghare ho, he can tell you. You're stupid, he can tell you. Because he got that type of an open relationship. But every second he's thinking, hey, I'm going to say this thing here, and how he's going to take it. then it's not an open relationship that I can't give what I need to give. But then I'm apprehensive now. Now if the doctor is going to say, you know, he's got cancer, I'm going to disclose this, he's going to feel very much depressed, let me leave it out. So are you acting in the interest of the patient or are you hurting the patient? You have to tell him, but at least the treatment procedure can start off. See, so that relationship must be a very open relationship. I can say what I want. It's an open relationship. There's no reservation. In fact, there's gratitude. There's a follow-up. There's no, mashallah, I can talk to the person. I can talk to him openly. He doesn't mind. So it's just this. Dusri baat hai, logon ke saath badgumani rakhna. To have opinions about people. Bad opinions about people. Suspicions about people. So it doesn't concern what he's doing within his mind. Do you know about it? You don't know about it. So, when you don't know about it, then you're not answerable, you're not responsible. And when you're not responsible, then why are you getting into the person? You're not responsible. Yes, if Allah Ta'ala held you responsible, then it was your duty to get into the person and find out what was his niyat and what was his intention. He didn't hold you responsible, why must you get into it? I was just reading Hazrat Ahmad's taqreer, one of his taqreer, right? He says, khushu is a requirement in salah. Khushu, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا الْخَاشِعِينَ. But that essence of khushu is required throughout your day, throughout your night. What is the essence of khushu? Brother is writing. What is the essence of khushu? The essence of khushu is don't deliberately allow your mind to go away from Allah Ta'ala. At any time, don't deliberately allow your mind to go off Allah Ta'ala. Remembrance, verbally, mentally, whichever way, but you are with Allah Ta'ala. Now you allow your mind and you allow yourself to drift away from Allah Ta'ala, that's not against khushu. So you keep yourself with Allah Ta'ala and don't allow, you can joke, you can amuse yourself with your family, children, but your mind and your heart is with Allah Ta'ala. You don't allow yourself to deliberately be driven away from Allah Ta'ala. That's the essence of khushu. See, statements of Abu Zuhani, how powerful, how great. It's the essence of life. And the third thing he says, that you do these three things, inshallah, you won't go deprived. The third thing he says, is, Sufiya-e kiram, buzurgon ke saath milte rahe. Until, one is a person, who's got a sheikh, so you meet him. In intervals you meet him, once a week, or whatever, meet the person. Listen to the discourse, listen to him, talk to him, if there's a need. You don't have to meet him all the time, but listen, what he's talking about, what he's getting at. If there's a thing to discuss, you discuss. Or, zikrullah karte rahe. Do your zikr, do your Quran Sharif recitation, what you're supposed to be doing. A hafiz, at least about 5 sibara every day. And a non-hafiz, at least about 1.5 sibara every day, supposed to be doing. I keep on repeating this, and a lot of youngsters say, but hey, Mu'az, 5 sibara, 6 sibara, you're being too much, man, you're overbearing. I said, all right, just do one thing for me. Just do two things in your life, right? One is, leave that WhatsApp and all these extra features in the phone, leave that. And make it a point that you will only eat and sleep after you have completed your recitation. Now he's telling you, well, with ease I can do 60 paras every day. Before quarter sipara I couldn't do. Now left out WhatsApp. And he made it, you know, I must complete this target, then I can go to sleep. Without exaggeration, he's doing 60 para every day. How you manage it? Just see this thing here. This thing is eating into your life. It's like a parasite. You know, it's a plant and a parasite. What that parasite does? It eats you off. So these things are eating you off. WhatsApp and all this type of new technology. So what he's doing, so what he's supposed to be doing, zikr, Quran, Sharif, tilawat, that's what he's supposed to be doing. Now, hey, phone, this message came here, I didn't use the phone for 2 weeks. So, people are telling you, 10,000 messages came. But I say, hey, but in these 2 weeks that you didn't touch it, right? You were still living, isn't it? You were still eating, you were still sleeping. One person came from Dundee somewhere, right? They say, Mullah, I didn't use the thing for about 2 weeks. It was the best 2 weeks of my life. The best tweets I've made, I didn't use this thing at all. But the moment I started, again, the whole checker started again. See? So, Muas says, keep on to these three things, inshallah, you won't be deprived. Sins, leave it out altogether, and suspicions, leave it out. And number three is, meet up with this buzurga. If you've got a sheikh, then meet up with him. If you don't have a sheikh, some buzurga that did it around, go and meet up with them and be punctual on your zikr in your Quran Sheikh Tilawat. Allah Baktufi.